Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome again to another broadcast of Ancient Future Faith. It's a weekly radio program brought to you by the Ministry of Epiclesis. Epiclesis is a church in Sacramento, an ancient future faith community, we call it. And I'm Pastor Chris, the pastor and the host of this program. Today, my very special guest is a frequent guest on Ancient Future Faith, Dr. Carl Peters, my buddy and actually, he's also coming to Sacramento in about a month, so I want to talk about that. Carl, hi, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Chris. It's always a joy to be with you.
Hey, Carl, tell everybody why you're coming to Sacramento in about a month.
Well, I'm going to come share with your folks and with anyone who is willing to come out and share with us about the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about this ancient feast that should mean so much to us both today and in our future. It has a lot to say about our faith and our experience as followers of Christ. It's a blessed gift from the hand of the Lord to us, and it foreshadows what we will experience at the marriage supper of the Lamb around that great table in glory. So I hope to see everyone at the event, and we will unpack this great mystery revealed to us in the Scripture and shared around the table each time we gather for worship.
You know, Carl, before we dive in, we ought to give a few details about the retreat, and I'll do it again a couple of times throughout the course of the broadcast, because we now have a little less than a month remaining, and only about 20 or so spots available left, so I want folks to take advantage of this. We're talking about a mini-retreat, folks. It will be on the campus of the Christ the King Retreat Center in Citrus Heights. It's not an overnight retreat, but it's a Friday night, October 3rd, and then most of the day Saturday, October 4th. So October 3 and 4, and you can get more information, details, a map of the location, and so on, learn about the modest conference fee. If you just zip over to the website, epiclesis.org, and that's spelled E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. You can also get in touch with me through the website, and I'll be happy to answer any questions. Carl, we did our first, what we hope to be annual mini-retreat last year about this time, and it was on the sacrament of baptism, one of the two main sacraments that most Christian denominations have in common, baptism and Lord's Supper. And I knew two things, that I wanted this year's retreat to be about the Lord's Supper, the second of those common sacraments. And I also knew that I had to get Carl Peters out here to do it, because when I think of the Lord's Supper, I think of you and your passion for it, your study of it, and I'm really excited about you coming.
Well, I really can't wait to be there with your folks, and I'm excited to be with a group of folks who are so motivated to learn about the Lord and what He has for us. And Chris, it's going to be a joy just to spend that time with you as well, and it's always just a retreat for me to be around you, and I hope people will come out and share that time with us.
We should mention that rather than taking a denominational view or using a denominational lens to look at the Lord's Supper, we're going to sort of put all of that aside. We're just going to simply, and well, profoundly, take a look at what Scripture says about the Lord's Supper. And you've also titled this mini-retreat, Ancient Future Feast, From Foundation to Fulfillment. Could you just sketch out for us a little bit about what you hope to cover on the retreat? And then I have something in mind I want to talk with you about, how we look at the Bible through the lens of salvation history.
Yes, that is a rather ambitious title for the retreat, but I think we will have a great time unpacking that, starting with the premise that we're looking at this pre-denominationally. Before there were different denominations, what did the New Testament church believe they were doing at the Lord's table? What were they experiencing? What is the objective reality at the Lord's table? I'm afraid it's become very subjective as we've diffused through church history into so many denominations, and so many times we have debated the nature of the Lord's Supper, what's happening, what happens to the elements, at what exact moment does that happen. Now, we're going to avoid a lot of those things and simply look at the theological basis, going back to the Scriptures as our sufficient text for this matter, and supplementing that with writings from maybe some of the early Jewish writers, even in the Old Testament era, the Hebrew writers, the religious leaders, just to get a lens, to get a view of what they believed, and then to look into the New Testament era and maybe some of the writings we have as commentary from the early church fathers on what they believed was happening at the Lord's table. I don't think we're going to come away with a denominational answer to this question, oh, these folks have it right or these folks have it right.
Right.
I hope what we will come away with is, here's what the Bible says about this. And as the Holy Spirit leads us to the fullness of this experience at table, that we will be able to enjoy the table perhaps as God intended for us to.
Well, I was going to ask you, surely taking a look at the Old Testament foundations of the Lord's Supper and then finding fulfillment in the New Testament and then taking a close look at how the early church approached the table, that's got to affect how we experience the table. Is that the case, don't you think?
I do, and I think many people base their experience on table with a very limited understanding. As I grew up, and as a pastor's son, I was pretty much taught that the Lord's Supper was simply a remembrance of what Jesus did for me at the cross. And while that is true, and I think we are called to remember, Jesus said that we ought to remember, unpacking the Hebrew concept of the Greek anamnesis, the word Jesus used there in the upper room, do this in remembrance, anamnesis of me, is much more complex than just looking back on a past event.
Yes.
It is to bring that past event forward and re-experience its power. I think that's an incredible truth that needs to be shared if we are to understand the glory of the table. The Israelites who came out of Egypt were told to celebrate the Passover and to teach their children about this Passover, the first Passover, when they came out of Egypt. But these children in the subsequent generations were to be taught as if they had also come out of Egypt.
Right.
And there you can see this kind of remembrance or anamnesis concept. Now, if we gather at table, and this is our idea, that we are experiencing again, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:16, we are participating in the body and blood of Christ. We are experiencing afresh the power of the cross. Then I think that's a much greater understanding than just having thoughts about or trying to conjure up ideas of the Lord and his crucifixion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Carl, you're already whetting my appetite for the retreat. It sounds like it's going to be wonderful. Folks, you have to take advantage of this. Carl Peters is my guest, and he's talking about the mini retreat that he's going to lead here in the Sacramento area that's open to everyone. Again, the dates are October 3 and 4. That's a Friday night and a Saturday. Again, it's not an overnight retreat, but rather a mini retreat. We go to the campus of the Christ the King Retreat Center in Citrus Heights. And the name of the retreat, Ancient Future Feast, From Foundation to Fulfillment. And Dr. Carl Peters, who is my guest today, is going to be leading this wonderful retreat about the Lord's Supper. Again, folks, hop over to the website, epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org to learn more information. By the way, there is a small fee attached to the retreat. It's, I think, $35. And that fee covers our use of the facility. Plus, hopefully, Carl, it will help us get you here and send you back home again. I assume you do need to go back home at some point. And also, we have a lunch that is included, Carl. We're going to feed you that day, by the way. Lunch is included on Saturday. So, Carl, it sounds like you're really at work getting ready for the retreat, and I cannot wait to hear all the things you have to share with us.
Well, if folks want to sort of look ahead at where we're going to look at the Old Testament and what it has to say, the foundations it lays for Jesus' institution of the Lord's Supper as he's celebrating the Passover feast with his disciples. He sort of retailors or refashions the Passover into a new covenant, and there are wonderful clues throughout the Old Testament about this New Testament fulfillment. There's an ancient saying, Chris, and I know you know this, and you probably have shared it with your folks many times. I believe it's attributed to Augustine, where he says that the New Testament is in the Old concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New revealed.
Right.
That idea will be front and center for us as we look at the typological foundations for the Lord's Supper in the Old Testament that are revealed to us as we arrive in the upper room and as Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And there are other New Testament passages as well we will explore to gain a fuller understanding It's not that it's hidden from us. It's just that we have, for whatever reason, minimized our studies. Perhaps it's because of a theological or a hermeneutical bias. Perhaps it's because of a fear that we will look like a certain denomination or another denomination. What we need to do, though, is suspend that and realize, don't we want to unpack all of the gifts that the Lord has for us? And let's take away these restraints that we have sort of arbitrarily placed there, or the limits that we have put on God's Word, and let's allow it to speak in its fullness to us as the Holy Spirit reveals it.
Hey, Carl, as you were speaking, it occurred to me that some folks might not know what you mean by typological examples of the Lord's Supper found in the Old Testament. What do you mean by typological?
Well, a type is something that foreshadows something that will be presented in the future, a fulfillment of the type, if you will. And if I could give an example of
this. Yeah, sure.
When Abraham was asked to take his son Isaac to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him there, we see Abraham as a father who has a son of promise. And we see Isaac, the son who carries the wood up the hill for the sacrifice. These are beautiful images mm-hmm. of God the Father who offers his son Jesus, who carries the wooden cross up the hill of Calvary. There, Abraham was told on Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son. And he says there, when asked by Isaac, "We have the wood, you have the fire, where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" Abraham says, "God himself will provide a lamb for the sacrifice."
Mm.
Well, what we find in the New Testament is Jesus identified in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8, Paul says, "Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So we have a very clear indication that Jesus is this lamb foreshadowed in the sacrifice or near sacrifice of Isaac by his father Abraham. A beautiful image in the Old Testament of what is fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament.
Okay, so that's a wonderful example of a type and the typology that you're talking about. One other thing occurs to me, and that is, though we probably keep emphasizing, as well we should, our study of this topic and looking at Scripture and learning what Scripture has to show us, we also want to emphasize that this is all about leading us to a deeper experience of the Lord's table as well, right? I mean, in fact, during the retreat, I'm certain that we're going to also experience the Lord's table. It'd be kind of odd if we didn't, right? So we want to encourage people that this is not only about head, but also heart and experience.
Yes, and I will say this time and time again, Chris. What we're doing here is not just setting up a list of 10 or 12 things that we believe happen at Lord's table, but we want to open our hearts to truly experience these things as we come to table. So you're exactly right. This is not just about a set of beliefs and ascribing to the right beliefs. It's about opening our hearts to right practice.
I remember the quote, and often use it, that John Calvin said about the Lord's table, and I will paraphrase. He said something to the effect of, "I would not so much understand the Lord's table as experience the Lord's table." And I'm right with him on that one. I know you are as well.
Chris, I think there's an example here or a way to demonstrate this by talking about piano playing.
Okay.
When I was a little boy, I took piano lessons. Well, my parents, for some reason, scheduled my lessons at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. So I never did become proficient at piano. But I have worked with many pianists who have been amazingly gifted and wonderfully proficient. Those folks will tell you it takes practice, it takes study, it takes work. But once you understand how to play the instrument, once you have command of these intricacies of playing scales and understanding sight reading, suddenly piano playing becomes very natural and very normal to you.
Mm.
I don't think people need to get caught up in the theology as they are coming to table, but it needs to become so natural to them that they are experiencing the fullness of table as a part of who they are and what God has given them, not a part of it as part of a checklist. Let's see, is this happening? Is this happening? Is this happening? We need to move beyond that to a more holistic experience of just bathing in the beauty of this gracious flow from the side of the Lord Jesus.
Mm.
May it wash over us in such a way that we're not analyzing Scripture as we come to the table. We're simply experiencing the intimacy of being with the groom as we are his bride.
That's beautifully said. Folks, I'm talking to Dr. Carl Peters. He's the lead pastor at Anchor Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and he's going to be coming to Sacramento on October 3 and 4 to lead us in a mini-retreat on the Lord's Supper. The retreat is open to everyone, and you can learn more information about that retreat. We're calling it Ancient Future Feast, all about the Lord's Table, from the website, and that's epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S. You can learn more information about the retreat, what the schedule is, where it's located, the small conference fee, that kind of thing. And we'd love to have you come be a part of that. We have about 20 or so spots left, so time's a waste, and make sure that you get in touch with us about securing your spot. Carl, earlier I was talking to you about another subject that I think also ties into the Lord's Table, and that is an interesting way, it's not a new way, but might be new to some people, to read Scripture. And I want to talk about that a little bit and the tie-in that salvation history and reading Scripture through that lens has with the Lord's Table?
Chris, I think it's very important that we start at a point of belief, that we not approach the Bible with suspicion, but that we believe it is God's Word to us. And as we read the Word of God, that we don't try to pick it apart and try to evaluate and analyze every phrase, every little pericope for its syntax. I think we get caught up in too much evaluation, and we miss out on the fact that God has given us a glorious narrative, the story of salvation history, God's redemptive work to draw man back to himself, to redeem man into a family relationship with him. When we view the Scripture this way, not with suspicion, but with trust and with hope, then we begin to see emerging from the pages of Scripture a love story of God reaching out to us time and time again. Even though we are unfaithful to him, God reaches out to us, and he does so through a series of covenants. But when we see these covenants unfolding, first with Adam, and then Noah, and then we see a covenant with Abraham, and then with Moses, and then David, and finally all of these covenants are summed up and fulfilled in the new covenant with Jesus. When we read the Bible this way, we recognize this comprehensive whole, this story that brings all of the books of the Bible together. They're not just a disparate list of a bunch of books. Now they become a storyline. And what we see in covenants is really a definition for our worship. For each covenant, at the word of the covenant, the expectations of the covenant, here's what two people will agree to in order to be united in this covenant. Well, when it comes to God offering us the covenant, he offers us the word, not just a list of things we agree to, but he offers us his son, Jesus. And we can be united to the Lord Jesus. And he's already fulfilled the law for us, fulfilled the expectations for us, realizing we are going to fail. But we are forgiven when we turn, when we repent and turn back to him. So we are united to the one who has kept the law perfectly, kept the expectations of God perfectly. He is our only hope. He is the word of the covenant. But then we come to the table where we experience the second sign of the covenant.
Okay.
That is the sign of the new covenant. The sign is that which ratifies or re-ratifies the covenant. So we have this beautiful sense that the Word is dwelling within us through Christ, this incarnational reality. Then we come to the table and we re-ratify this covenant. Our relationship with the Lord is so tied to this beautiful story of salvation history. We just don't read a story that is separate from us. We are drawn up into this story and become a part of it. So there's a cosmic transcendent nature to our worship that ought to absolutely blow us away when we come into the Lord's presence. It moves us out of some sort of removed sense and places us into this incredible dynamic of the Trinitarian life. We are drawn up into God's life.
Yes.
As Peter wrote, we have these great promises so that we may participate in God's divine nature. As we are united to Christ, what Jesus said to his Father in the high priestly prayer is true. We are one as they are one. And so in Jesus, we are also one with the Father. How beautiful is that?
So if I could just put it in different terms to make sure I understand what you're saying. When we look at Scripture through the lens of this big story, you're calling it the sweep of salvation history. When we look at the forest rather than the trees, when we take a more of a bird's eye view, I guess is another way to say it, then that leads us to a deeper understanding of our part in the story, and then gives us different eyes, maybe would you say eyes of wonder and possibility when we come to the table itself.
Yes, the writer of Hebrews talks about how through the body and blood of Christ we are drawn into the very throne room of God in heaven, into the heavenly temple, as it were, the Holy of Holies. If we are not open to what the Scripture teaches us, we completely miss that aspect of the Lord's Supper.
Right.
There are many other examples of this, and these are the very things that we're going to unpack when we gather for our retreat.
Well, I love that idea that when we think about Scripture in terms of one big overarching story, and we accept it as truth, and that we are part of that story, something really amazing happens, especially at table. It's that wonderful moment when we ask the Holy Spirit to catch us up, as the early church fathers would have said it, to catch us up, to participate in that heavenly worship that is ever flowing before the throne of God. And that takes some special eyes to see. It takes some special seeing in order to participate in.
You know, in the Gospel of John and other Gospels as well, Jesus constantly tried to move people from seeing naturally to seeing supernaturally. For instance, when he talked to Nicodemus, he talked about being born of water and the Spirit, being born from above. When we see through spiritual eyes, these things become realities to us. They become more than just theological mumbo-jumbo and things that other people believe, and I'm not so sure. We can suspend all of that and say, you know, Lord, I trust you with this. I can't explain it. I'm not going to begin to explain it. In my way of thinking, this is not possible. But with you, God, all things are possible. So I simply trust you and believe. How are we transported through the veil, which is his body, into the very throne room of God? I don't know. But I do trust the word of God when it says that's what happened. You know, the old deacons who would pray, or the ushers who would pray, at the offering time in the Baptist church where I grew up, they would often say, Lord, we boldly come before your throne of grace. There's always been a sense that this happened, but I think it's just been hyperbole. I think we need to move away from hyperbole or beyond it to reality. These are the spiritual realities that come to us at table.
Folks, my guest has been Dr. Carl Peters. He's a wonderful friend and also a passionate speaker and teacher on the subject of the Lord's Supper. And he's coming our way. He's coming to Sacramento October 3rd and 4th to lead a wonderful Bible-based, Christ-centered look at the Lord's Supper. What in the world is going on in communion? We're calling it Ancient Future Feast, from Foundation to Fulfillment. And if you are interested in deepening your understanding and experience of the Lord's Table, I really want to encourage you to come. It's open to everyone. You can just pop over to the website epiclesis.org to find more information about the details. Carl, thank you so much once again, and as always, for visiting with us today on Ancient Future Faith.
It's been really good to be with you, Chris. I'm looking forward to sharing with you in just a few weeks.
Folks, until we gather for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to remember that phrase that I always use, and that is, surely the path to our evangelical future runs through our ancient Christian past. I want you to think about that and ponder it a little bit until we gather again. Thanks for listening. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hang on just a bit, folks. It's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. We're working on a wonderful two-day mini-retreat for October, and it's all about the Lord's Supper, or communion. Our special guest speaker will be Dr. Carl Peters. The modest conference fee covers our use of the beautiful facilities at Christ the King Retreat Center and a tasty lunch. The dates are October 3 and 4. Find all the information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Saturday at 1 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.